Right now, I mean, the future of global decarbonization, it isn't being engineered in some pristine Silicon Valley lab.
No, definitely not.
It is being violently blasted out of the freezing 2 billion-year-old bedrock of the Canadian wilderness. And for you, listening right now, we know you're always looking to stay ahead of the curve.
Yeah, you're the learner.
Exactly. You don't just want to read the basic headlines about electric vehicles or, grid storage. You want to know where the actual physical materials for that future are being secured before the rest of the world even catches on.
Which is, it's a phenomenal disconnect when you really think about it.
Right.
I mean, the incredibly advanced technologies we're banking on for tomorrow, like the sleek EVs, the smart grids,
Yeah.
they are entirely bottlenecked by the raw rock we can manage to pull out of the ground today, and often in some of the most unforgiving environments on the planet.
Which brings us to today's date, April 16th, 2026. Because just yesterday morning, a dense, highly technical, and frankly, super jargon-heavy press release dropped.
Oh, it was thick.
Yeah, from a Montreal-based mineral exploration company called Brunswick Exploration, or BRW for short.
Right.
And they announced the initial results from their 2026 winter drilling campaign at a site called the Ananakau Main Project up in the Nii-Ishi James Bay region of Quebec.
And honestly, if you aren't a seasoned geologist or like a mining analyst, reading a release like this feels a bit like trying to decipher a foreign language.
Oh, 100%.
It's packed with, azimuth vectors, dip angles, metavolcanic host rocks.
Chemical assay methodologies.
Yes, all of that. And it can easily overwhelm the actual narrative of what is happening on the ground.
Well, that is exactly our mission for this deep dive. We are going to translate this geological update. We want to uncover what Brunswick Exploration actually found buried beneath the snow and rock, and more importantly, what this single update tells us about the broader global lithium market. Okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
So let's start with the absolute star of yesterday's release, which is the raw drill numbers.
Yeah, the numbers are pretty striking.
We are looking at a specific hole designated AN2607.
Right, hole 07 is the data point that just immediately caught the attention of the financial and commodities markets.
Because the drill hit 1.31% lithium oxide over a span of 90.5 meters. Now wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Because to a normal person, 1.3% sounds incredibly tiny.
It really does.
I mean, in almost any other manufacturing or tech industry, a 1% yield is basically a rounding error. It's a failure. So why is the market cheering for a rock that is like 98.7% not lithium?
Well, what's fascinating here is the sheer scale and the economics of hard rock lithium mining. You really have to adjust your baseline for what constitutes a high grade.
Okay, so a curve.
Right. In the world of pegmatite-hosted lithium, which is the specific type of rock structure we're talking about here,
Right.
the lithium is bound up in a mineral called spodumene. And because of how expensive it is to mine and process, anything over 1% lithium oxide is generally considered a strong grade for potential economic viability.
Got it. So 1.31% is highly attractive then.
Exactly. And furthermore, they didn't just hit 1.31% over a narrow, little vein.
Right, it was 90.5 meters.
Yeah, and that specific, highly concentrated section actually sits within a much larger continuous lithium mineralization package.
Oh, wow.
We are talking about 167.9 meters of continuous mineralization sitting at 1.02% lithium oxide.
That is massive.
And to add to that, while plunging hole 07 deeper, they discovered a completely brand new dike situated below the main target, which is called the Anisi Main.
Okay.
This newly discovered lower structure measured 6.8 meters, but at an even higher grade of 1.52% lithium oxide.
See, hearing those lengths, I mean, 168 continuous meters of mineralized rock. I kind of want to push back on the visualization of the drill itself.
Okay, how so?
Because whenever I read these exploration updates, the intercepts can be highly misleading.
Yes, they absolutely can.
Right. If they drill down and hit 90.5 meters of lithium inside the drill core, it doesn't mean the actual physical underground layer of lithium is 90.5 meters thick. I mean, if the earth is a multi-layered cake,
I like this analogy.
and the drill is a straw going in at an angle, how do we know the actual thickness of the cake layer? Because if a drill goes in at a sharp diagonal, it's going to travel through that rock layer for a much longer time than if it just punched straight through perpendicular.
That is spot on. And
Right?
it brings up a crucial concept in economic geology, which is called true thickness.
True thickness, okay.
Yeah, when a drill bit cuts through a subterranean rock formation at an angle, like your straw in the cake, the length of the rock pulled up inside the core tube, the drill intercept, is almost always an exaggeration of the actual width of the geological feature.
So how thick is this lithium layer, really?
Well, the press release is completely transparent about the geometry here. Drill hole AN2607 was pushed into the Earth at an azimuth of 120 degrees, which means the rig was pointed toward the east-southeast on a compass.
Okay, got it.
And it was angled downward at a dip of negative 48 degrees. So they kept pushing that drill bit down that specific diagonal trajectory, literally fighting gravity and bedrock, to a total length of 330 meters.
Wow, 330 meters deep.
Yeah. And because of that specific angle relative to how the rock is positioned underground, Brunswick explicitly estimates the true thickness of the anastite to be approximately 60% of the reported drill intercept.
Okay, let me just do the math on that. So the 90.5 meters of rock inside the drill core represents an actual physical underground layer that is roughly 60% of that size.
Right.
So around 54 meters thick. But let's be clear. A 54-meter-thick solid wall of lithium-bearing rock is still an absolutely massive subterranean structure.
Oh, it's a formidable volume of rock. And, you know, finding high grades is merely step one. The geometry and the overall volume of the deposit dictate its future.
Because you have to be able to actually mine it.
Exactly. If there isn't enough sheer tonnage to justify building a multi-million dollar processing plant and infrastructure out in the remote wilderness, the high grades are completely irrelevant.
Right. So let's look at the broader dimensions they've confirmed for this main target, the Anas Main Dike. The release states that it extends over 250 meters in strike length. That means it runs laterally along the orientation of the Earth for a quarter of a kilometer.
Yep.
And with this new winter drilling, they have now defined it to a vertical depth of 190 meters.
I mean, to put that in perspective, that is a vertical wall of mineralized rock as long as 2.5 football fields, plunging nearly 200 meters straight down into the ancient bedrock.
And here's where it gets really interesting.
Tell me.
Despite finally defining those massive dimensions with this recent drill campaign, the press release makes a very specific point of stating that the Anas Main Dike, and actually all the other dikes reported in this update, they remain open in all directions.
Ah, open in all directions. That is, it's basically the holy grail phrase for an exploration team.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It means the drill bit hasn't found the edges yet. They haven't found the physical boundary where the lithium stops and the barren rock begins.
So it could be even bigger.
Way bigger. It could go substantially deeper. It could extend further north or even further south.
I want to understand the physical environment this lithium is sitting in, though.
Like, yeah.
What does this subterranean structure actually look like if we could just, you know, strip away the topsoil and see it?
Well, geologically speaking, it's quite chaotic.
Okay.
The dike isn't a flat, static sheet like a nice, even layer of your cake. It is interpreted to be gently folded. It's oriented essentially north-south to northeast-southwest, and it's dipping pretty steeply at 85 degrees to the west.
Right.
And it is hosted entirely inside what they call highly folded and sheared metavolcanic rocks.
Highly folded and sheared. Which means this area of the Earth's crust went through some immense heat and pressure, like billions of years ago, to fold and shear that volcanic rock.
Exactly.
So instead of a clean slice, think of a shattered car windshield, maybe.
That's a great visual.
The immense geological pressure cracks the bedrock, and those jagged, really complex fractures become the exact pathways for this pressurized, lithium-rich pegmatite fluid to escape upwards from deep within the Earth. And then it eventually cools and crystallizes into the rock they're drilling today.
Yeah, that perfectly describes the mechanism. The shear forces create the structural plumbing system, and the pegmatite fluid basically just fills those pipes.
Now, hearing these massive volume numbers and high grades, my immediate thought as an investor, or even just a critical observer, is, well, how do we know they aren't exaggerating?
Right, the skepticism.
Yeah, we've seen mining scandals in the past where grades were totally inflated. Which brings us to a whole section in this release titled QAQC, Quality Assurance and Quality Control.
The fine print.
Yeah, and as a layperson, this stuff looks like pure alphabet soup. It says samples were, quote, dissolved in a sodium peroxide solution, unquote, and analyzed by ICP-OES and ICP-MS, according to Agate Method 2013-78.
It's a lot.
What are we actually looking at here?
It is incredibly dense text, I'll give you that, but this is arguably the most vital paragraph in the entire release for the financial market.
Really?
Yeah, because this isn't some geologist guessing the grade by looking at a shiny rock with a magnifying glass. This is rigorous, verified chemistry. When they pull that cylindrical core of rock out of the ground, they need to know its exact atomic makeup. So they saw the core in half, they seal it in bags, and they send it to an independent, accredited facility. In this case, Agate Laboratories.
Okay, but why do they need to dissolve the rock in sodium peroxide? That sounds intense.
It is intense. The sodium peroxide solution is an intensely powerful chemical bath used to completely obliterate the rock matrix.
Obliterate.
Literally, it forces the solid rock to break down into a liquid state because you cannot accurately count the atoms in a solid, uneven rock. You have to totally homogenize it.
Ah, that makes sense. So once it's liquid, what is an ICP-OES or ICP-MS machine actually doing to it?
Think of a mass spectrometer, like a highly advanced molecular sorting hat.
Okay, Harry Potter chemistry.
Exactly. When they blast that liquid rock sample with plasma, it gets so incredibly hot that the individual atoms break apart and literally glow with specific colors or atomic weights. Yeah. And lithium has a totally unique elemental fingerprint. So the machine reads that glowing plasma and can count the exact number of lithium atoms down to the decimal.
That is wild. And the release notes that all results passed standard, duplicate, and blank screenings above a 0.32% lower cutoff grade.
Yes. And those screenings are the ultimate fail-safe.
What's a blank screening?
So a blank means the exploration company secretly slips a rock they know has zero lithium into the batch they send to the lab.
Oh, like a test for the lab itself.
Exactly. And a duplicate means they send the exact same rock twice under totally different labels.
Clever.
If the lab's machines claim the blank rock suddenly has lithium, or if the duplicates come back with vastly different numbers, the entire batch is thrown out. Passing these rigorous checks tells regulators and competitors that these numbers are scientifically ironclad.
Okay, so the science is verified, the grades are surprisingly high for this type of deposit, and the physical size of this thing is expanding in basically every direction. But let's zoom out a bit and look at the neighborhood. Because in mineral exploration, just like in real estate, location is everything.
Always.
Why is this specific patch of freezing Quebec so highly prized right now?
It really comes down to the regional geology and proven precedents. The Ananticao mineralized dikes don't just exist randomly in a vacuum.
Right.
They straddle the southern side of what geologists interpret as a major deformation zone. This is a massive structural corridor striking northwest southeast right through the bedrock.
And a deformation zone is exactly that shattered windshield concept we were just discussing, right?
Yes, exactly.
A huge regional area where the Earth's crust has been structurally compromised, creating that necessary plumbing system for minerals to rise up.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture,
please do.
This is the exact same structural corridor that hosts Rio Tinto's massive galaxy project.
Rio Tinto. Okay, that changes the gravity of this entirely.
Oh, massively.
They're one of the largest multinational mining corporations on the planet. They don't mess around with small speculative plots.
No, they do not. And their galaxy deposit is a monster. Just to give you the specific stats referenced in their release, the Galaxy Project currently holds 54.3 megatons of measured and indicated resources.
Wow.
Sitting at 1.30% lithium oxide. Plus, they have another 55.9 megatons categorized as inferred.
Let's quantify that for a second. Over 100 million tons of lithium-bearing rock. That's not just a mine.
No.
That's enough raw material to power the battery production for millions of electric vehicles for decades.
Exactly. And Brunswick's Anatech West project is immediately contiguous to Rio Tinto's claim package.
Meaning they touch.
Yes, it shares the exact same property border, located just 20 kilometers to the west of the Anatus target we've been deep diving into today.
So finding parallel pegmatite dikes intruding into these same metavolcanic rocks completely validates Brunswick's exploration model.
100%.
It proves they are hunting in the right neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
The immense geological forces that created Rio Tinto's massive 100 megaton deposit didn't just hit an invisible corporate property line and stop.
Right. Nature doesn't care about property lines. The whole region was cooked just right.
Yeah.
Finding mineralization within the same structural corridor is a massive de-risking event for a junior exploration company.
De-risking?
Yeah.
Because they already know it's possible.
Right. The structural controls are heavily reminiscent of Galaxy. It tells their investors that they aren't just chasing geological shadows. The precedent for a world-class deposit is literally right next door.
Okay, so we know what they found in hole 07. We understand the rigorous chemistry proving it. And we know they're sitting next to a titan of the industry. So what comes next? What is the actual strategy here?
Well, The immediate focus is wrapping up the analysis of this 2026 winter campaign.
Okay.
The scope of this specific phase was to drill approximately 1,500 meters of NQ core. They planned this across 7 incline holes, averaging about 200 meters deep each.
Right.
And while today's release gave us the spectacular results from hole 07, it's vital to note that the chemical assays for drill hole AN2608 are still pending at Agate Laboratories.
Oh, wait. And the release explicitly states hole 08 was drilled to a total length of 252 meters.
Yep.
So there is still a significant amount of unreleased data just waiting in the wings from this exact same campaign.
There sure is. The market is going to be watching the wires closely over the coming weeks as those mass spectrometers finish their work.
Yeah, no kidding.
But this raises an important question.
It is.
What is Brunswick's ultimate goal in this market? I mean, are they trying to build a massive mine themselves, which, you know, takes billions of dollars and a decade of permitting?
Well, they are an exploration company, right?
Yeah.
So usually the play is to find the resource, prove its massive scale, and then get bought out by a major like Rio Tinto, who actually has the capital to build the infrastructure.
Exactly. And to understand their leverage in that scenario, you really have to look at the broader portfolio.
Okay. What else do they have?
Well, Brunswick is currently earning a 90% interest in the Anadarko projects from Osisko GP, which is a subsidiary of Osisko Development.
Right.
But Anadarko is just one piece of a much larger puzzle. You have to look at their flagship property, the Mirage project.
I actually saw Mirage mentioned in the CEO's quote. What is the scale there?
Oh, Mirage already boasts an inferred mineral resource estimate of 52.2 megatons, grading 1.08% lithium oxide.
52.2 megatons.
Yeah. It is currently one of the largest undeveloped hard rock lithium resources in the Americas. But Brunswick isn't just focused on Quebec either.
No.
No, they hold some of the most extensive grassroots lithium property portfolios globally, spanning into regions like Greenland and even Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
So what does this all mean? Why Greenland? Why Saudi Arabia?
It's all connected.
If you step back from the drill depths and the chemical baths, what we are really looking at is a global race for supply chain security.
Absolutely.
Right. The transition to electric vehicles and the push for grid-scale battery storage. It isn't just an environmental tech story anymore. It is a massive, high-stakes, geopolitical scavenger hunt.
It really is.
The critical metals we desperately need are hiding right under our feet. But right now, the global supply chain is heavily consolidated in certain parts of the world, specifically China. And Western automakers and governments are terrified of being cut off.
They're scrambling.
Yeah.
And by building a massive grassroots portfolio across geographically diverse mining-friendly jurisdictions like Canada, Greenland, and Saudi Arabia, companies like Brunswick are hedging against regional permitting delays and geopolitical friction.
Right.
They're basically trying to find the X on the map in areas where Western supply chains can actually securely access the material.
Because it is the foundational layer of the future economy. Without the raw material found in the freezing James Bay winter, the billion-dollar gigafactories in Nevada and Germany, these would simply grind to a halt.
It's true. We can design the most efficient batteries in the world, but we cannot synthesize lithium out of thin air. We have to drill for it.
Okay, let's quickly recap the major takeaways we've covered today. Brunswick Exploration has hit significant high-grade lithium at their Anadarko project in Quebec.
Yeah.
Drill hole 07 pulled up a massive continuous package, highlighted by 90.5 meters of 1.31% lithium oxide.
Yep.
They have successfully mapped the Anise main dike to 190 meters deep, passing rigorous chemical verifications, and it remains completely open in all directions. All of this is situated inside the exact same geological deformation corridor as Rio Tinto's massive 100-plus megaton galaxy deposit.
And perhaps most importantly for the short-term market, they are still waiting on assay results from additional deep drilling.
Right. Hole 08.
But, you know, the detail in this press release that I find the most compelling and the one that really hints at what's to come is a single understated sentence near the very end.
What does it say?
It simply notes that drilling at Anadarko continues to the east, quote, where no previous drilling has been conducted.
Uncharted territory.
Exactly. When we talk about the future of global decarbonization, we always picture the sleek outputs.
The shiny cars.
Right. But the true limiting factor of that bright future is currently hiding in invisible 190-meter deep rock formations.
Yeah.
If one single 330-meter drill hole angled carefully into the bedrock, can uncover a 54-meter true thickness zone of high-grade lithium, it forces you to ask a massive question.
Which is?
What else is completely undiscovered in the vast, undrilled expanses of the Canadian Shield?
It's an incredible thought. I mean, the map of the green energy transition is still being drawn, and large parts of it are still totally blank, just waiting for a diamond drill bit to finally pierce the surface and piece it together. We want to thank you, the learner, for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the headlines, keep digging into the data, and keep exploring. We'll catch you next time.